This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Sorry to say, I wish I wasn't here this morning. I wish I was in Austin, Texas, for the Lay Zen Teachers Association meeting, which is taking place there this weekend. And it's particularly unfortunate because this weekend they will be holding for the first time a Dharma Heritage Ceremony, which will welcome and initiate new members of the association. And that's a ceremony that I and Peter Levin and Eve Marco put together and will be done there for the first time. And I thought I would say a little bit this morning about what that ceremony is in relation to the function of LZTA and why I think any of that is relevant to this group. LZTA started, I believe, 8 years ago, largely on the initiative of the late Kyogen Carlson out in Portland, Oregon, in response to the fact that his and the other Sotos and lineages were having trouble knowing what to do with lay teachers, that is, teachers who weren't ordained as priests, which was the standard procedure within Soto Zen, that ordination as a priest was sort of a step on the ladder towards Dharma transmission as a teacher. But that kind of ladder became increasingly irrelevant to the lives that many people were leading, since many people were not being trained as monastics or living residentially, but were nonetheless practicing for a long time, very diligently, usually for decades, and we're becoming leaders in the community and teachers. But the traditional Soto hierarchy didn't have a place for them. In particular, a lay teacher was someone who often did a lot of work in the community, but because they were not ordained, they were lay, they were not able to give transmission or make new teachers themselves. That meeting, I said the lay teachers were being treated like Zen mules. They were allowed to do the work, but not to reproduce. In any case, initially, there was a certain amount of lobbying going on to have lay teachers included into the Soto Zen Buddhist Association, which itself had an interesting history. The tradition of in Soto Zen is that when a new teacher receives Dharma transmission, the final step in that ceremony is to go to one of the training monasteries in Japan, either Eiheiji or Sojoji, and be ceremonially or symbolically installed as abbot for a day. I believe this is called a Zuise ceremony. And the first generation of American teachers all went through this. Maizumi's successors and the various successors in the San Francisco Zen Center lineages. There was a tradition that they all sort of went back to Japan to do this, and they tried to conform to the rituals and authority of the Japanese Soto establishment. But as you can imagine, after a while, it started seeming a little arbitrary, not to say logistically difficult, for teachers to feel like they had to make a trip to Japan to go through this ceremony in order to be legitimized. There were, in addition to the difficulty, there was a strong sense that American teachers ought to be able to transmit to other American teachers without the intercession or the blessing of a Japanese institution. So the Soto Zen Buddhist Association was originally formed as a kind of American version of that kind of authorizing organization, and that they held the equivalent of that ceremony in America for new teachers, initiating and validating the transmission of teachers. So it became sort of symbolically a place where each year newly transmitted teachers were welcomed formally into the Soto fold without having to go to Japan. It was a big step in saying American Zen was fully functioning and autonomous. It was not dependent on the Japanese either for training or authorization. You know, in that first generation, a lot of the Japanese teachers, if they had a promising American student, they'd send them back to Japan to get the real training. You know, that was Baker Roshi's experience. Suzuki singled him out and said, oh, you should go to Japan. You know, you've got some potential. Well, increasingly, again, that seemed to not necessarily be such a good idea. Particularly because the training that people received in Japan was increasingly discordant with the kind of community they would be coming back to and the kind of students they would have and the kind of training those students would expect. So in any case, part of the arc of the development of American Zen was to try to develop forms of training here in America that did not depend either on going to Japan or simply recreating in America the forms of training that were done over there. And when the Soto Zen Buddhist Association established its Dharma Heritage ceremony here, it was sort of an important symbolic step in asserting its autonomy from Japanese Sodoshu. Now, it brings us back to LZTA. The American lay teachers were more or less in the position that those other American teachers were in relationship to the Japanese, in relation to the American ordained hierarchy. By and large, the message the lay teachers got was that what they did was still dependent on the monastic model, and that the creation of teachers still depended on a ordained priesthood. Now, one of the things that I think is relevant to us here is this whole shift away from this place not being a temple, but being a zendo. A temple is something run by a priest. A zendo is something run by a teacher. And in the Japanese tradition, a temple or a training monastery would have both priests and a teacher, but the priests were essentially the interface with the community. The priests performed the services and rituals in which the surrounding community would participate in. These days, that is largely ceremonies for funerals or for the memories of ancestors or doing services for people who are sick or dying, the way we include them in our chant list. But in any case, the idea was that the temple, like a church, intersects with the community through devotion and ritual and services. Now that in America is largely simply not the case. And the establishment of zendos like this represents a turn in which lay people are here for training in meditation. That's not primarily what happens in an old temple situation. And what it means is that the teacher, not the priest, is the primary way in which the group connects to the community. The community is coming in here for something to do with practice and training in that kind of practice, not just showing up when a funeral needs to be performed. So, as we establish this kind of lay Zen center, a center that is teacher-centered, not priest-centered, one of the things that we're doing is asserting, as we said in the mission statement of LCTA, that the Dharma can be fully practiced, realized, expressed, and transmitted in the middle of lay life. That this kind of center is how the Dharma is going to express itself in America, not necessarily through temples or training monasteries. And the Dharma Heritage Ceremony that is being held this weekend for the first time is a further affirmation that lay teachers are affirming and acknowledging the transmission of other lay teachers, that group is itself increasingly autonomous, increasingly seeing itself as the shape of Zen in America. It is not dependent on or in any way secondary to the organizations that represent monastic practice. Now that's a big and in many ways very radical step. But why I think it's particularly relevant here is that it's also a step that puts on us a great responsibility. It really says that we're taking responsibility in this kind of place, in this kind of group, to fully express the Dharma. This is going to be it. Right? We're not doing a watered-down version of what they do in some monastery someplace. We're not getting you ready to go do the real thing somewhere else. We're not saying that you're going to do a little bit of this here until a few of you get serious enough to go to Japan or go enter some monastery where you get the real thing. We're asserting that this can be the real thing. This is it. And that's the good news and the bad news, right? It's in many ways lets us off the hook if we think that there's a real thing happening somewhere else and we can sort of take or leave as much of that as we want. I think that to assert, as I have, that this kind of place is the future of Zen really means we have to make sure that what we're doing here is the real deal, that it's not half-assed, it's not part-time, that we take it seriously, that the Dharma really is in our hands to express and eventually transmit.